Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scales West.
West.
Issue number 2. That's right. We thought we were cool enough to come back for another issue, and we're going to keep on coming back until you tell us not to. Or even when you tell us not to, we might still do it. We don't really care. So we
never
are back.
Never stopping
this train.
Don't stop believing.
Yes. All of the cliches about not stopping, we just said those.
wait.
All the important ones.
Don't stop, can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Oh!
So yeah, we're back again here at Griffin Games and Comics at 1119 West Drake Road, Unit C30, recording our lovely podcast, bringing this right to you. So let's jump right into it. So how's everyone doing? How's everyone been since last time we hung out? Anything special? Anything crazy going on? We'll start with Nat, because you're right here.
Yeah, I have had very little downtime, but what I have had, I've been spending watching Game of Thrones with my wife. And anybody who's watched Game of Thrones can understand how much time that actually takes. So
Have you actually seen it before? Are you rewatching it?
I had seen season 1 probably about 5 years ago now, and so I still had that in my possession and decided to watch through the first season, and my wife enjoyed it so much that we just immediately bought the rest. Because, you know, that's
nice. Is it on Netflix yet? Is it on Netflix?
No, because it's an HBO show.
I guess that makes sense.
And HBO does not lend their stuff out to any of the other streaming services. Because they have their own streaming service, so they want you to buy HBO to, have that stuff.
Which I'm not going to.
Right. But for Game of Thrones, it might actually be worth it.
All right. I've never seen Game of Thrones, so.
We're into season 4, and it's a show that hurts. I know this is, you know, talking old news, but it hurts. It's not a enjoyable in the same sense. You're enjoying the story, but it's a weird thing that to have no true protagonist, like who the real through line is of a story. It's very odd.
It's good to know that it still hurts, even though you knew going into it by now that it was going to hurt, and it still hurts.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, there's so many things that I've, like, experienced as spoilers through the cultural zeitgeist because of how popular the show is, and it's still like, well, that still sucks to have to watch that. So.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's a really good, like, it's a really interesting show in general because, like you said, there's no protagonist, and there's also, like, 20 or 30 main characters, I would say, that kind of, like, as it progresses, it kind of starts with some, and then, you know, some of them die off. If that's a spoiler to you, then you you literally don't know anything about Game of Thrones. But it's a great, like, high fantasy. Like, any fans of Tolkien or anything like that. It's a great show about that. George definitely does a good job weaving a story together.
George
R.R. Martin.
The
author.
The weird thing is, like, the use of magic. And now I'm 4 seasons into the 6 that have been released, but magic is really interesting in the world. You're not seeing, like, people throwing lightning bolts out of their fingertips or guys walking around or wizards with staffs. You know, it's more, like, nature-based and, like, sacrifice and being able to control animals. Being in touch with, like, the spiritual
more
realm.
Druids.
Druids, it's less wizards.
Okay.
It's definitely a callback to, like, olden times where people actually thought of magic being, like, you have a cauldron and you put a bunch of herbs and, like, newts into potions it. And then all of a sudden, like, this, you summon a demon somewhere, but it's not like a big demon that's like, I am a demon, how can I help you?
Right.
It's more like something that we don't understand what it is, and it's like an effigy of the idea of what needs to be done. It's really, really interesting.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm glad they did that.
Although there is a lot of, like, this is going to sound a little weird, but, like, I have not talked to a single black person that likes that show just because of, like, the white savior complex that that show has.
Interesting.
So that is, like, kind of something that's a little iffy about it. Definitely, if you watch it.
I haven't seen it yet. So as the resident black person on the podcast, I can say I have not seen it, so I don't have an idea of what that's like.
So that'd be interesting to get another opinion about it, because, like, I've seriously, like, talked to, like, a bunch of people about it, and they're all like, I don't like I just don't like it. It's not good. Like, why are all the black people slaves and the white people have to come in and save them?
Huh. Interesting.
So,
just... Slaves or pirates?
Just one thing. Slaves or pirates. Those are the only times you see, like, black people in it.
Yeah. I guess, right, because someone might say, oh, well, historically, well, I'm like, this is a high fantasy, not real situation. Yeah. So you're choosing to make that the case, not that it has to be the case.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like, they could have just as easily reversed that and had, like, white people as slaves and, like, white people as the kings and stuff.
Sure.
Like, I don't think, I haven't read the book series, so I don't know exactly about it. I know they talk a lot about, like, blonde hair and stuff, but, like, then again, like, if you look at, like, Aqualad... You know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you've seen the animated Atlantis film from Disney, you know, they are dark-skinned with light hair. Mm-hmm. So,
That's true.
That's interesting.
So,
I'll check it out then. Yeah. Thank you. I'll give you guys some feedback.
I think it's such an interesting, like, it's really taken hold culturally just to be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's a very intense show. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Cool. Pretty much work and then Game of Thrones.
All right.
That's
not a bad life.
So no, it's great.
And you're immersed in the geek culture then, so because you work at a comic book store and then you go home and watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, my change of pace from dealing with comics and, you know, deep storytelling is to go watch deep storytelling and
in the movie format.
exactly.
Well, why not? I mean, that just means you're in a place where you do what you love all day.
That's exactly. Right. And that's the big joy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, and your wife will actually do it with you, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, she's not normally a comic reader.
The other way around,
right?
Or they push back.
Yeah, she'll stop us and ask me to play a game of Magic, and then we watch Game of Thrones. So
sounds like you married the right one.
I did. Yeah, she's pretty great.
She's a keeper.
She's a keeper.
All right, Nat, what's going on in your world?
Yeah, honestly, I've kind of been doing the same thing. I've just been working and. Writing a bunch, but Netflix has just come out with a bunch of, like, season twos of, like, a bunch of shows that I really love, so I'm trying to, find time to catch up on that. So
which ones? The viewers would like to know what you're watching.
Yeah, so I just finished Master of None season
two. Oh, yes!
Which is an amazing show.
I love Master of None, personally.
That's it. Have you seen season two yet?
Yeah.
So that episode, First Dates, where it's just all the first dates that he goes on from, like, Tinder matches and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an classic. Amazing
episode.
So,
he's hitting on the right topic at the right time.
He is. And I love how this... I love how this season especially is all about, like, the first season is definitely about, like, finding love and, like, what we do with technology in our modern age. And this season is, like, a lot about communication what, like, we're more connected than ever, but somehow on, like, a personal level... We aren't able to connect, like, he's living in Italy for a while and he can't speak the language. And then there's that one whole, like, part of the, you know, the New York I Love You episode.
Yes.
Such a good episode, too.
Oh, one of the best episodes.
And it cuts out, like, it's a bunch of different stories that aren't even, characters in the show at all. Mm-hmm. It's just people who live in New York, pretty much.
Hmm.
And... At one point, it follows this deaf woman around, and so, like, a door opens, and she walks into the convenience store, and as the door opens, the sound just cuts off for, like, 10 minutes.
What?
For, like, 10 minutes of the show, and you get subtitles.
It's fantastic.
And then, she gets into, like, it ends, she gets into her cab and opens the door, and then the sound just comes back on as it's sort of, it's one of those camera things where, like, she gets into her cab, and in the cab next to her is, like, the people who start the next story.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was very powerful, to be quite honest. I was so happy to hear, to have that part where she was deaf. It really hit me hard.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, he is killing it in season two. And he wasn't even thinking about doing a second season. Yeah. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Like,
I'm
after the first season is done, he was just like, well, we had an idea to do the first season, and...
Who,
like,
is it again?
Aziz Ansari
is
the main showrunner. I probably should have mentioned that, because I love Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
He is hilarious. Like, he's one of my favorite stand-up comedians, too.
Nice.
And he's just killing it right in
one of my favorite parts of that entire episode. I think, you know, living the single life right now that I'm living, like, it really hit... There's the one where he meets this girl, and... They have a really good interaction. They're in Italy. And everything's going great. And you're like, oh, this could be the one that he's going to be with.
Right.
And then she goes off. And he's like, I'll meet you later. Text me. And someone steals his phone. And he never gets his phone back, ever. And so we never know if that, what it could have been.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens all the time in single life. You're mm-hmm. going through, you're like, oh, that could be the one. And then you miss out on something, or something weird happens, and you never see that person ever again.
Yeah, like,
and you have no idea.
Like, yeah. He has the ability, like, just through this one small pocket-sized device, to find one person yeah. in a foreign country that yeah. he's not in, but what happens when that's gone? There's just, like, yeah, right. That's, like, season two is all about this one little bit of disconnect that happens
yep.
when you're, like, between, like, making these plans and then actually carrying them out. It's great.
It's great, yeah.
Thematically, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, just as a show, it's funny. It's just well made.
Yeah.
Just yeah. all around a great show.
I support
show.
Your recommendation. So mm-hmm. if you're listeners, if you're listening, because you should be because you're listening, go watch Master of None, season one and season two.
Mm-hmm.
Season two, though, crushing it. Crushing
yeah.
it.
What really sold me on that show, though, like, as like a film, like a work of film, really, is that episode in season one where I forget the title of it, but it just takes place in his bedroom. Like, there's a whole 30-minute episode that is just mornings and evenings, like, in his, like, bedroom
mm-hmm.
and a little bit in his living room, like his, like, small studio apartment. And it tells, like, an amazing story
yeah.
of love and romance and forlorn loss, all in just a tight, compact area, like, without doing too much. It's definitely an amazing show. The other one that I've been trying, I have, like, one episode left to finish, is the Get Down season two.
Season two. I haven't seen season two yet.
Yeah, they just came out with it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's why.
So,
okay.
Yeah, super recent. Did you see season one then?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I loved it. I am a huge fan of hip-hop, so, like, seeing that progression of... it's a fictionalized... For those of you who haven't seen it, it's a fictionalized account of the rise of hip-hop in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It's... extremely styled disco and like the club scene
mm-hmm.
and like DJs coming up. There is, I never thought I'd see an intense DJ scene, but there's a scene in season one where their DJ Shaolin Fantastic is learning how to spin the two discs together to like match up the beat on each one, and it's so intense. Like, he's sweating,
yeah,
and you're sweating,
yeah.
And it's like slow mo, and he's like spinning the discs around,
yeah.
And it sounds really lame when I describe it, but if you watch it, you'll be like, oh my gosh, is he gonna get it to line up? He's getting it to line up. Oh, hold up, switch that over. amazing. And
yeah.
it's stylistically, it's like filmed like the 70s, so some of it looks like they use like old grainy footage sometimes.
Oh, that's cool.
And a lot of time it's like hyper realistic, like it would look like what the 70s wanted to
yes.
look like, kind
yes.
of
yeah.
and like
that's awesome.
Like just like overly colored like scenes
for sure.
Like kind of cartoony. In season two they actually get like a bunch of like cartoon interludes.
Oh really?
Like comic style, like 70s comic style. Like
I need to check that out.
Yeah, like one of the characters is trying to be an artist. He's like a graffiti artist, but
mm-hmm.
he's also trying
mm-hmm.
to be like a
oh, I like that character.
Yeah, he's trying to be like a comic artist too, so it cuts into like these transition scenes where it's like, and Shaolin Fantastic goes down to White Town to find, like, and you know, he's like
yeah.
riding his motorcycle and like all the people
oh,
are
really,
like,
I gotta see this.
Oh,
don't even
gosh.
Give any more away. Everyone needs to watch this.
Is this a Netflix original?
Yeah,
it is
well,
a Netflix
uh-huh.
original.
What is up with
Netflix?
Killing
it.
I don't.
Killing it, Netflix.
They had a release trailer for Castlevania,
yeah,
the animated series.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I was like, I had heard about this, and I had heard that it was going to be based around Castlevania 3,
mm-hmm.
but it's in production, and the first episodes, or I guess all of the episodes, will probably drop in
yeah.
July.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what
insane.
The hell?
Yeah.
I love Netflix originals. Like,
me too.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of torn, actually, because Netflix live action originals, killing it on all fronts. Mm-hmm. Like, every single one I've watched is worth watching. Sense8, another one that I've been meaning to start season two of, is... Leander's over there having the nerdgasm.
A total nerdgasm.
So well done. Amazing. It's directed by the two
siblings. The Wachowski.
Yeah, the sisters. Yeah, the sisters now. The brothers back when they were directing The Matrix.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So incredibly well filmed. Just one of the most compelling stories ever. Or like on Netflix. Yeah. It's such a cult hit, too. Like, everybody who's seen it is like, why has everybody not seen this?
I forced many people to watch this
show. So did I.
I force everyone to watch it.
Oh, my God!
I force it. And I will sit down with you. We will watch this all over again.
So good. Yeah, I can watch that over and over and over again.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. It, like, has some great action and some really compelling plots. But, like, if you just watch the intro, that's really more what the show is about. Mm-hmm. It's just showing, like, all this beauty and humanity, and like it takes place in 8 different countries around the world.
That's cool.
Or well, 7, I guess, because 2 people are in America.
Right.
So it like 7 different countries, and it has just like some of the most
beautiful,
gorgeous like bits of like humanity and like everything. Culture and
everything. You know, not that this is in any way sort of like degrading. That's not the right word I'm trying to use. But it has probably one of the best sex scenes that you will probably ever see in your life.
Interesting.
Are you talking about like the
when they all get connected?
That one's nuts. I guess if you could call it a sex scene, because it's only like. Yeah, because it's so weird. It's like an orgy, but not an orgy at the same time. Definitely not an orgy.
Between this and Game of Thrones, if you can imagine
10 people having sex all across the world, but also having sex
with each other.
Together.
But not really together.
But not really together.
Basically together.
Pretty much together. Nat's over here does not compute. Error 404.
I think, honestly, they upped their game with the Christmas special. They did it even better.
Ooh.
Even better in the Christmas special.
Interesting. I think I'm really excited. Like I said, that's another one that I'm planning on watching like right as I finish the Get Down season 2 is starting on season 2 of Sense8 because... Yeah. And another thing I love is not just, like, that stuff, but the music scenes, too, when they're all listening to, like, the same song, like, across the world, and it, like, kind of montages or whatever.
It's so good. It's so,
so good.
We can talk about Netflix forever. We should probably get
So, that's pretty much what I've been doing with my week. So, Leander, how are you?
I appreciate that. I have not been watching Netflix. This past week, actually, I was in a cabin, all like in my own cabin with no access to technology for a week. And it was fantastic. I was in Oregon, just north of Ashland, Oregon. And it's part of my job. So we were there doing some training. And it was really nice to be out in nature, listening to the water flow and stuff like that. There were some occasions where I would get access to internet, and at those points, I would kind of like, you know, play my Marvel Puzzle Quest on my phone, or there's a mobile link to Injustice 2, the video game, on the mobile app.
So that's awesome.
I downloaded that and tried that out. So I got some geek in while I was out in nature, which, you know, I think it's good to have a balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no need to be just all nature. You can also be, you know, geek out in technology. Everything can work in harmony. I had a blast.
Yeah, the balance definitely helps you to appreciate both. Like, you should never have too much of either, to be honest.
I mean, that's why when I go hiking, I wear a cloak and have a sword with me. It's because you need both.
Something different.
Are you sure?
Wait, you don't carry a sword? I mean, what else do you need to protect from the mountain lions? And also just in case they're, like, horde of goblins.
Right. I use my magic.
Naturally.
There's no need to have a sword.
Yeah, you would definitely be the mage of the party.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Closer to a druid, I think.
Fair enough.
But being an archer and wearing cloaks, I guess I'd be the ranger.
Uh-huh, so that's ranger. All right, what would you be, Nat?
Now
we're going down this D&D road.
I usually play as the archer myself, but I feel like if we Well, if we have a mage and an archer, we need an up-close person, just in case, you know, while you guys are out there casting your spells, I'd have to probably be... So a lot of times I play as, like, a thief kind of character, so I could I could do that kind of stuff.
Just jumping around, making sure you don't get hit, you know, distracting everything.
Dual-wielding swords, smoke bombs at people. So, yeah. Well, I guess we have our, you know, team figured out.
We do. We already have a team figured out, which is awesome.
Dropped into some sort of fantasy world.
It could happen at any point in time.
It could. Yeah. It could. We don't know.
I think we're all hoping that it would happen. I mean, I think every nerd's fan that, every geek's fan that are a fan, every geek's fantasy that they would have that happen. At some point in time, it's got to happen, right?
Right. That's,
someone's got to have mutant powers. Someone's got to develop magic. Right. It has to happen.
If multiverse theory tells us anything, there is potentially a universe where every possible existence is happening. So there's every iteration of every one of your fantasy universes out there, along with your comic universes.
Yeah.
So, like, according to, like, multiverse theory, there could be a Marvel universe out there. Okay. Why not?
Writing about us.
Yeah, writing about us. Weird.
Those non-powered people.
In the world where nobody has superpowers, what do they do with their lives?
Record podcasts from people with superpowers.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a scene in an anime, but like with all the action lines going behind us, but we're just sitting in front of a mic recording.
Typing on the computer.
Oh, wow. And he sent an email.
And the email icon appears in the upper right-hand corner with, like, a status bar for when it's received.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That's awesome. Well, maybe we should dive into news. I know there's some big ones around the Black Panther. I don't know if we want to start there, though, because that's a big one. That's a big one. I know. Let's go over here to Nat. Nat, take us somewhere.
So we'll start with the announced casting of Venom. So Tom Hardy has been announced as Venom in the standalone Venom film from Sony Pictures. So not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Part of me is like, well, this is really cool. Tom Hardy's a really great actor, and, you know, I love Mad Max, we were talking about earlier before recording, and I like him as Bane. I thought the Bane character was really interesting, but sounds great as Venom, as Eddie Brock. I'd be totally interested in that, but... Mm-hmm. It's Sony's movie, so it's I don't really fucking care. That's where I'm at.
It's not connected.
And Sony has screwed up Spider-Man twice now.
Sure, yeah.
So this is the whole reason, or part of the reasons that Spider-Man is with the MCU right now is because they weren't able to consistently make good films.
Right.
So I don't know that a Venom standalone movie without Spider-Man works. And then through Sony doing the film, it's. I know they're gonna do an R-rated version, which makes sense if you're gonna do that character.
It helps a little bit.
But his whole identity is based around taking Spider-Man first. You know, having embodied himself or
have the symbiote first.
Yeah, he was his first exactly. and ever since he's embodied his first, he's tried to be his first over and over.
And the rest of the story is trying to get over Spider-Man and his breakup. But, it just doesn't really work.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. Since I don't know if you guys knew about that or
I didn't. I heard about that,
and my reaction was, "Oh, Tom Hardy is Venom. Cool."
See,
and that was the end of that. So
it depends on the hype.
Yeah. I'll wait for the theatrical trailer to drop, and then I'll make a more decisive opinion about it.
Like, is he gonna have the spider on his chest? Like, that doesn't make any sense. If he didn't have the symbiotic relationship with Spider-Man first, then the use of webbing and that look and the oversized eyes, none of that makes sense without having taken that character in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is all assuming that he's going to be... I mean, it could be, an origin story of Venom, like, what he was before he took over Spider-Man's body or anything like that, which would be
I guess they're already introducing this idea of Eddie Brock, so I guess...
Right.
So that would be hard. Unless they do the Space Venom. then that's less about webs and more about guns.
Yeah.
And such. So, Venom in space. Venom,
but then again, what's my attachment to you, Venom, and why are you
right,
in space?
Right, right. And then you become more of the anti-hero role versus... Yeah. They have an opportunity to make the villain the protagonist of the story, which would be really interesting if it could be done well.
Sure.
But...
Yeah, you could get a you could get an awesome Wicked kind of thing going with it. But, yeah.
But do you want to humanize him to the point that he's not a scary character?
I don't know. We'll
don't
see.
Know either. Yeah,
that'd be really interesting to see. I love movies like that. Honestly, like taking the perspective and just switching it or whatever.
Right.
Like, why can't Ridley Scott give us a movie from the aliens' perspective? Like, where it's a bunch of humans coming to like the aliens' world, and the aliens like, man, I was just like chilling here, trying to get my alien tan on.
He can't do that because nobody's going to see the films that aren't from the alien perspective. So I don't think the studio would do anything. The movie's fair almost enough. A bomb at this point.
Really,
so Alien Covenant did not do what it was. Expected to.
I wasn't really all that thrilled to even see. Did it come out already?
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
It's been out for like 2 weeks. I think.
No,
just a week.
Just a week.
I had no interest in like going out of my way to see it. If my friends were all getting together to watch it, sure, I'd go with them. But I had no real.
But that's the thing is, nobody is wanting to get together and watch it.
Yeah.
So
shrug. All right.
So as far as like movies go, I think we would probably be remiss if we didn't mention the big one next week, which is Wonder Woman.
Well, they're talking about the Boss Baby too.
Though they're already coming out with the sequel to that. It hasn't even left the theaters. That movie is actually apparently killing in the box office.
Yes, it's made something more than worldwide more than $400 million.
Really?
I don't get it.
So. Yeah, I mean, I guess Alec Baldwin's voice pulls more pulls more than Ridley Scott's Aliens.
I'll be bringing up The Shadow later, and I don't think that that's the truth that Alec Baldwin's voice actually brings in money. Maybe. Now.
Interesting.
Fair enough. But I just saw an interesting bit of news about Wonder Woman coming out next week, which is apparently Alamo Drafthouse Cinemas are doing a couple all-female showings of Wonder Woman. So to sort of do like the whole Wonder Woman, girl power, breaking the glass ceiling in superhero movies kind of things. And of course this sparks controversy on the internet because a bunch of dudes are like, where's my like man rights and stuff like this.
Here's the thing. Wonder Woman is opening in I don't know how many theaters. Maybe you go to the one down the street. Jesus Christ.
Get over yourself, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
pull it together.
Kudos to the Alamo for once again doing something really cool. You know, they do awesome events, and this sounds like an awesome event.
And where is this Alamo? I haven't even heard this place.
It's like a movie theater chain.
It's a chain.
Yeah,
okay.
So there. I don't know.
The original's in Texas. I believe there's two in Colorado now. There's one in Littleton. I think one in downtown Denver now.
Okay. It's nationwide. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And So they're doing, I don't know how many of them are doing it, if all of them are doing it, what the, like, scoop is on that. I'm not a woman, so I'm obviously not looking for tickets for that, because, you know, I'm just going to see it in the regular theater with all of us peon males.
Yeah. Well, actually, here at Griffin Games and Comics, 1119 West Drake Road, Unit C30 in Fort Collins,
80526.
Colorado. We actually have our showing on Thursday at the what was the Cinemark. So.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be there. I'm excited.
I am beyond excited for this.
Do you still have tickets for...
We do. We still have buttons available for the show.
Okay, because I still need to buy my ticket personally. Mm-hmm. And
pick them up fast, because as the reviews are coming in for this film, this is going to sell out before we send.
I am actually going to talk to you literally after we stop recording to pick up my ticket specifically. Hopefully by the time we finish recording, they won't be gone.
I will say, though, that I was not excited about the Wonder Woman movie, but I'm going to go in with low expectations and hope that I get excited about it. So, I mean, I get it. I get the concept because it's part of the comics, whatever, but it feels like female Captain America. And I don't know what people, I know people are going to probably shit on me about that. Whatever, live your life. But I'm just saying, like, Captain America did that. And so now I got to watch Wonder Woman do it. And I got to, and I'm not going to, I can't help myself but compare the two.
Well, so yeah. here's my hope. So Captain America, the First Avenger, was a better Indiana Jones sequel than The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And Diana, Wonder Woman, has a lasso, which is very akin to the whip. So I'm hoping that this is a better Indiana Jones than Captain America the First Avenger was.
Interesting.
And I absolutely, I know, I love the mythology of Wonder Woman. I've been, mm-hmm. you know, I've been reading that book since New 52. I have an almost complete run. I didn't like the editorial change that happened after Azzarello and Cliff Chang left the book. But I love the character. I love the integration of superheroes and Greek mythology together. It's really sure. a cool concept. And I think if you do this and she's a character of hope and of strength, that this is really going to be a special film.
Nice. Yeah. No, I'm definitely... I want to be on your level, Leander. Like, I want to go in with low expectations, but I feel like I already have high expectations. So,
yeah.
like, right. I'm going to... artificially lower my expectations so I can go in and be surprised because, like, I feel yeah. most... I hope that this is the one that they really actually break out with because so far DC's been in kind of, like, a gray, sludgy area with their movie releases.
Sure, yeah.
Like, most of the... They've just been so hyped and then afterwards they kind of get, like, shat upon by yeah. everybody.
Yeah.
And... from what I've seen about some of the early release reviews, this is finally the one that is actually their breakout.
Okay.
Their breakout movie.
Well, so now you just hype me up. So you gotta like, well, now I'm okay. like, oh, but it's probably gonna be good.
But it's probably gonna be terrible at the same time.
Remember DC's track record.
Yeah.
As much hype as you give yourself,
I just have to
bring it back to
I
that.
Just have two words to like say though, Suicide Squad. So yeah, everybody bowed their head in
yeah.
silence for the listeners at home.
A moment of silence for Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, R.I.P. Will Smith's career.
Will Smith was one of the highlights of that movie, so I think he's
true.
Okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
If like I want to watch like a director's cut of that, which is just every scene with Will Smith in it yeah. and everything else cut out.
But yeah,
it's all Will Smith and the Joker. Like that's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the 17 seconds that
yeah.
that Jared Leto's Joker is in there. The one thing though that I did want to say about the Wonder Woman Alamo Drafthouse thing though mm-hmm. is this isn't anything about like, oh, men's rights or female rights or whatever. I just think it's kind of weird how neo-capitalism, yay, is now cashing in on feminism pretty
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have this giant company that is pretty much like making a promotional thing to have people pay them money to support like civil mm-hmm. rights and equality for all and stuff like that. Like I get the idea
yeah.
and I get why they're doing it and all this stuff. And I apparently they're supposed to be donating a lot of the money to like I think Planned Parenthood was one of
oh.
the
oh, okay.
like,
jeez.
Ones that they're doing.
Wow.
But on the grand scheme of things, this is nothing more than a publicity stunt, and you know they wouldn't be doing it if they weren't expecting to be
yeah.
making more money off of something like this.
Well, Alamo's a weird paradigm in and of, like, for movie theaters. They have a weird track record of doing a lot of things that the fans in whatever area that they have a theater want to be done.
Mm.
So when The Wind Rises came out for Miyazaki,
mm.
They did a showing, and this was the one in Littleton here, that they did every night because everybody was like, well, Wind Rises is coming out, and they had enough fan response that they did a showing of each of the films, all of Miyazaki's films up to that point each
mm-hmm.
night. So
that's really cool.
I think there's an element, there may have been an element of community that were saying, oh, you know what I really love is to, you know, go
mm-hmm.
see this film with just another, a bunch of women and just, you know, be in that feeling, something we've been waiting for
yeah.
you know, for but, so many years.
But then again, I could continue my argument and say that they're building their image off of creating, like, these community things to bring people together and then capitalize on the fact that they brought people together for these... Sorry, I'm totally, like, hitting Debbie Downer about, like, about this kind of stuff.
We know who's the empty or half glass half full and half glass half empty.
Yeah. No, I say the glass is half full and that capitalism will charge you an extra dollar to fill that glass all the way up.
It's a water shortage. You don't get that water glass for free.
Exactly. I'm an optimist about this, but I realistically see that if I want a refill, dang, free. This isn't McDonald's registered trademark. This is real life trademark.
That's
awesome.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Do you have any other news bits besides the Black Panther that we wanted to...
Yeah, I have a couple quick things. So Lego Marvel Super Heroes, they just dropped their trailer for Super Heroes 2.
Okay.
So I guess that's supposed to come out in, like, November, I want to say, of this year.
Cool. I didn't see the first one, so...
It's a video game, right? So, yeah, it'll be fighting.
Oh, it's a video game. Yeah. All right, I thought everyone was...
Yeah, it's pretty much like Street Fighter, but with Lego characters and Marvel characters as Legos. So you got, like...
What?
Guardians of the... So, like, they were just showing the trailer. You got Guardians of the Galaxy. You got, like, Black Panther, Ant-Man, Hawkeye. Miss Marvel was in it, so I'm, like, in the trailer.
You're in it.
So I'm, like, yes.
Wait, what? So it's not like the open world, like, adventure gaming? It's like a fighting game?
Oh, you know, I don't... They just had, like, a theatrical trailer, so I've not actually played.
Yeah.
So I might have made the wrong metaphor.
I mean, either way, that would be really cool. Yeah.
It's
like Marvel versus Capcom, but Legos instead.
Okay. Yeah, I've not actually played the Lego Marvel superhero one, so...
Okay.
But now that you mention it, yeah, like, the first one was an open world, and so I don't know what this one's supposed to be like. I assume it'll be along the same vein.
Sure.
Which is pretty cool, like, you know, lots of unlockable characters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a game that I would love to, if it comes out, I would like to find one other person and actually play it in person cooperatively, because it's that kind of... game. It's kind of not fun to play that game by yourself. It seems kind of lonely.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a weird thing about open world games in general, which we can go on a complete huge tangent. Sure. But yeah, there's an element of loneliness. I think those do play better multiplayer. I remember playing the Star Wars ones.
Unless you're playing Fallout, in which the playing it by yourself is like how that game should be played.
Can you play it cooperatively?
I don't know, actually. I never did because, like,
I've never played it, so
it's such, like, a stark, like, lonely game, and, like, being out in the world just by yourself,
so
like,
it's meant
adds
to
all, like, the feelings of just desolation and stuff like that.
That's fair.
Yeah. I guess just, like, two other quick things of news. So I watch a bit of anime and read some manga, and apparently, what is it? Champion Red is coming out with a Batman and the Justice League monthly or bi-weekly manga.
Really?
Coming out June 19th.
Hmm.
Definitely check out, like, the promotional, like, the first cover for it, because it's, like, exactly what you would imagine, like, as, like, this, like, the manga Superman is, like, one of the most interesting. It's really interesting just, like, looking at the cover. Hopefully they'll have, like, an English translation coming out soon, because I might want to check that out. Nat's over there.
Yeah, how do you even look that up? Do they have their own website? Do you just Google search it? Like, if someone's never seen that before, you just Google search Batman and Justice League manga?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's what I did
to
get this. So it's... I don't know exactly how you would read it. I'd imagine that, and I'm just talking out of my ass here, but I'd imagine that most magazines have websites, and a lot of those websites would probably have some sort of way to read
Makes sense.
Their publications. So... Yeah, just Google search Batman and the Justice League manga, and you can probably find out more information about that. I don't know, like I said, I don't know also when or if they're coming out with an English translation.
Sure, but at least it's cool. People can take a look at it and see it.
But yeah, definitely look at the, like, promotional art for it, because especially if you're into manga and the Justice League at all, it's, like, the perfect crossover between these. Like, and I'm looking at it in my head right now, and it's just really silly. So the last bit of nerd news that I have is, and this is somewhat of spoilers from Guardians of the Galaxy, but not entirely.
It's been out long enough. You can do a small spoiler.
So Stan Lee, you know, he has his cameos in every Marvel movie. He has two in Guardians of the Galaxy, some big spoilers there. So apparently they just confirmed a fan theory that Stan Lee is actually playing a character in the Marvel Universe, and he is not just doing gratuitous cameos.
Oh, really?
He is playing Utau the Watcher, who is an alien, who's from an alien race, for those of you unfamiliar with it, from who go to all different planets around the galaxy and universe to observe major events that are happening around. So this is actually the reason that he is in all of these places, seeing the Avengers do their thing and seeing Deadpool and seeing, you know, all these people in their various places, is because he is actually specifically there to observe the human race in their development throughout. So there's a scene in Guardians of the Galaxy where he's, you know, his cameo where he's talking to the Watchers, and after the movie was released, it was confirmed that this fan theory that had been going on for a while, that he is in fact the one for Earth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it would make sense. Because I'm like, why is he hanging out with the Watchers? Like,
yeah,
it was a little, like, it was cool and then weird, and like, oh, that would make sense though. That fan theory.
Yeah. So
nice.
You got any more news that?
Yeah, I do have one bit. So the Star Wars comics are incredibly popular, and we're dealing with the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. So recently announced was Star Wars Jedi of the Republic, Mace Windu. It'll be written by Matt Owens with art by Denise Cowan. I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly, but he's a really interesting illustrator, most famous for The Question. This looks really interesting. I mean, Mace Windu is a character that can... there's a lot of room for exploration with. He taps into the dark side for his fighting. So I think you could tell a really cool story here, and the Star Wars comics have been exceptionally good, so I'm just hoping this one is as well.
Awesome. Yeah. He's the one, for those of not too familiar with it, he's the one with the purple lightsaber, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Purple lightsaber Jedi.
Yeah, the neutral one, pretty much. Red and blue combined.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, Sam Jackson said, I want a purple lightsaber, and they said, okay.
Isn't that actually how it happened?
Oh, yeah. Much?
He was like... sick, because, you know, Samuel L. Jackson does what he wants, he just pretty much, they were like, we want you as a Jedi, and he's like, I'm not, I want a purple lightsaber, that's my one, request for this.
He wanted to be able to pick himself out of the mass Jedi scenes in Attack of the Clones, and since everybody else has green and blue, he would be easy to find.
And it makes an opportunity for a cool story.
Yep, exactly.
So he probably didn't expect it to.
No, right?
But it makes an opportunity for that, which is awesome.
The character became a lot bigger.
Or maybe he did.
Yeah.
Maybe he actually is more of a Star Wars fan than anybody on Earth.
That's right.
And he knew that doing something like this would create, like, thousands of fan spinoffs and, like, real spinoffs and stuff. And, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, if you're listening in right now, please come in and talk to us about
this. Yeah, let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe more than we thought we did. You did.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, Black Panther and the crew. So, does anyone know the true story on it? Because I don't know if I'm going to do it justice to be able to say, all I know, all I've heard, and I don't know if these rumors are true or is it confirmed, I don't know, that Black Panther and the crew... is being canceled, and they canceled it. They canceled it after issue number 2, they're going, from what we understand, they're going to allow the writer to finish out until the end. So Ta-Nehisi Coates will finish out until issue 6.
I think it's 6, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, to be canceled, canned after two issues. And those of you that are listening, you know, intensely to us, know that in our last 1.5 issue, I think it was, mm-hmm. we talked extensively about Black Panther and the crew and how much we loved it. So
yeah,
it's being canned.
Yeah, I read that news too, and yeah, Leander and I probably spent most of our 1.5 episode just talking about, like, raving about Black Panther and the crew, and now, like, it was only a couple days after the episode premiered that the news came out that it was getting canceled.
Right.
So, I'm pretty sure the Marvel staff is doing it just to spite us.
Yeah, that must be what it is. So, yeah. And that's fine, you know, love us or hate us, you're still a fan.
this is like such a bigger issue to me is the oversaturation of the market to say that it's canceled based on poor sales after two issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I think that that's an underlying problem.
My thing is that so they at the end of the issue number 2 of Black Panther and the Crew, it actually says, if you want to, you know, reach us, send us an email. They're getting an email from me.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I never do that sort of stuff, but they're getting an email just to make sure they hear the voice of fans that, yeah, maybe you weren't making enough sales. Maybe that's the case. I mean, it's only 2 issues in, so I don't know why that's your...
Right.
That can't really be your excuse. But someone needs to tell them something to let them know that there was a need and it was being filled, and maybe there needs to be better marketing on their end. Maybe there need to be better something, but to cancel it, and maybe the topic was too intense for them, the idea of like this black person and cops and killings, and maybe there was something there that was too tough for people to understand or to wrap their mind around, or it was too sensitive. But you can't just cancel something because you're scared or because you have, you know, these bullies who might be telling you, like, oh, we don't want this comic because of XYZ reason, or the sales. You can't just give up just because it's not making enough when it's a niche kind of comic, potentially.
Well, but also if you look at Black Panther, the solo title, and Black Panther World of Wakanda, mm-hmm. both of those, people who read those, everybody will tell you that it didn't pick up until issue 4.
Right.
For both of those titles. Right. And I think that's what Ta-Nehisi Coates was going for, and it was, he kind of slow rolls it, usually for the first couple issues, to build up this hype.
That's right.
And I'm sure, like, I'd be more than willing to bet my bottom dollar that issue 4 of The Crew comes out and everybody just loses their shit.
Yeah.
This is, you know, basing, and this is all speculative, but basing the sales numbers just on issue 1, because it's an issue 1, that maybe the pickup numbers weren't mm-hmm. as high as some of the other debuts. It's BS. You know? Like, really, BS. Give something the time. Especially, like, it wasn't solicited as having to be an ongoing series, so you could have cut it as a mini and left it as a mini.
Nobody would have even...
Right. No one would have known, but the fact that it's a public cancellation of a title...
Right.
Oh. It's like, what the hell?
That's like, that's a good point, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is just... Oh, man. So sad.
And the hard part about it, I think, for those in the African-American community is that it was a book about African Americans, and, you know, also with Black Panther and Storm, Africans that have a very huge tie-in to America. So it's not like they're oblivious to what's going on in America. Like, Black mm-hmm. Panther and Storm both know what's going on. Because the way I see it is that the Black Panther series is set in Wakanda, which is basically Africa, and people portray, they're happy when black people are portrayed as Africans, but not as African Americans. And so it's okay for the Africa part of it to be solicited and marketed and like, yeah, we're really focusing on black people, but you're really focusing on Africans.
Wow.
But you're not focusing on African Americans, which is what Black Panther and the Crew was supposed to try and do. And when it does, when you do attempt to do black African Americans, that gets canceled.
Wow. Yeah, because that's a really interesting point, because with Black Panther and the Black Panther solo series, everybody's like, man, it's so real, it digs into real issues, like modern day issues of like human, like what's going on in our modern day times, and then all of a sudden you like switch it over to America, like a little closer to home, and everybody's like, man, this is too real. I don't mm-hmm. like this. I don't like what they're doing with this.
Yeah, and there's a whole study of diversity such stuff where, like, the idea of being African is what represents being black. And so, but when you try to then, but it doesn't hit home when you try to do African-American stuff. So
interesting.
It's very interesting stuff. Yeah. So I feel like Marvel let me down as a African-American reader because this concept of what Marvel is supposed to represent, you know, I'm going to put this in my letters as well, or my email letter. Who writes a letter anymore?
I did. I've written into one publication and I actually wrote a letter.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so I think it's good, but I'm going to email them and just like, you know, the X-Men taught us you don't bow down to bullies, and Fantastic Four is you have a problem and you solve it. Like, you don't just give up. You try harder and harder and harder, you solve it. And Avengers is, like, all about unity, and, like, you figure it out. You stick together, and, you know, no matter how hard the challenge is, you figure it out. So just there's these values that Marvel tries to instill in us, but they're not following through on certain instances. And again, it's the cancellation of issue number 2 that's the problem, because I'm not whining that my favorite book didn't make it, right? Like, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you're canceling after 2 issues when you haven't even really gave something a shot. That's my problem.
Yeah,
that is a really interesting issue that they would, and like you were saying, Nat, like, that they publicly canceled it instead of just saying, like, oh, this is a miniseries, it's a six-shot run, and it's done.
Even if you did it at 6 and said, hey, you know, the sales didn't turn out for this, so we're going to leave it as this miniseries and the complete story, that's done. You know, so.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would be fine.
But yeah, announcing it when they did seems in poor taste, and it seems it was done the wrong way, which is unfortunate that Marvel keeps having these poor taste public announcements.
That is really unfortunate. Yeah, I was going to mention in the reviews, but I guess, yeah, like, one of my favorite titles right now, Mosaic from Marvel, just got canceled, but they didn't announce it. They just, like, at the end of issue 8, they said kind of some, like, instead of, like, to be continued, it's, like, the story or it's, like, the end of the beginning, and I was like, wait, what does that mean? And so then I had to go look it up, and I was like, oh, no, yeah. Mosaic is canceled, no!
Right.
But the fact that, like, I heard about this, like, before even, like, the end of the thing, before issue 3 is even out yet, and they just had to make a big public...
It's a little bit of a slap in the face, the way that they did it, but, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever, you're a company. But at the very least, just like what we're learning in America, period, you have to make your voice known. So if you don't appreciate something, you have to say something. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing it that same way because they're not going to think that it was a problem. So I'm going to try and do my best to raise my voice and send this email.
Exactly. If Horton Hears a Who taught us anything at all, it's that every voice matters, no matter how small.
Nice.
Aww.
So.
Tear. Well, let's get into comic reviews. You guys okay with that? I think we have time for one each for everyone. So pick your favorite.
I think I'm gonna switch out what I had thought, just that we're going long. Yep. I am gonna start with Batman the Shadow, issue number 2. This is a cross promotional title between DC and Dynamite Comics, written by Steve Orlando, Scott Snyder, with art by Riley Rossmo. This book was awesome. Like, if there was a 9 out of 10 or a 10 scale, I would probably give it a 9. It's an amazing book. It's Batman is a detective dealing with fantasy elements, dealing with magic and the spiritual. The Shadow is a character who has unclear powers. He can cloud men's minds. It seems like he's lived forever. He's being accused by Batman of taking the mantle or the identity of one of Batman's trainers, but it all takes place in Gotham City, and it's really, really fun and different detective story. You follow along with Batman studying the evidence. I mean, there's a picture of him eating dinner and just poring over images on the back computer, trying to figure out what exactly is happening in this event, and it deals with Batman's past being intertwined with the Shadow's past. And they use characters from the the Shadow's film from the 90s. And it's just something really special about this book. As you read through it, everything is framed really interestingly. Riley Rossmo definitely just draws his own version of these characters, and... Yeah, it just sells it. It's a really, really great book. Rosmazar's
battle. So is it the story? Is it the art? Is it the action?
It's everything.
The characters? Is all of that
coming together? It's all of it coming together. Like, he, the shadow that I have in my head is only from that film, and this is a darker version of that character, and he captures my Batman. Like, it's the detective Batman, the adventurer Batman who seems one step ahead, and the teaser for the next issue on the cover is dealing with the Joker. So
yeah.
This is a fun ride. I'm excited.
What issue is this?
Issue number two.
So now's the time to jump in. You can get number one and jump right into it.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So just looking at it, I just had a quick question. Does it take place in modern times? Because the look of it kind of looks like it could be, it's a bit more noir.
It takes place in modern times. I think Batman at his best in comics or in other media is when it's modern, but it has that noir aesthetic that makes it feel like it could be of any time.
Okay.
Okay. So,
modern use of technology, I guess, would be the biggest thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, just looking at the art as Nat was flipping through it, it definitely has that feel.
Oh, yeah.
Very stylized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just an all-around awesome title.
I like it. All right, what you got over there, Pat?
I'm going to be doing definitely the exact opposite of Batman, which is Squirrel Girl, one of my favorite publications that's ongoing right now, period, Marvel, DC, Image, anything. Every issue that comes out is just a laugh riot for me. And so I just honestly want to read a couple of the jokes that are in here. So at the end of the last issue, it's this person who can control all animals. And a giant swarm of mosquitoes is coming to New York City, which I'll give you the reason for on the next page. But Squirrel Girl is trying to find, she's on Twitter and trying to find somebody to like help her out with this things. And she's like, calling all superheroes. I need somebody who can help me out with this mosquito problem that's happening. And we get a response from this guy that's called Mosquito Man, which sounds like something that would be a Marvel superhero. And he's like, sounds like it's the job for Mosquito Man. And she's like, oh, great, Mosquito Man, you sound perfect for this. And then she says a couple things, and his reply is, pretty much, our coordinates are your local Mosquito Man realtor. Say bye bugs with over 4 power pack control synths. So it just turns out this is like like a product placement for some like mosquito repellent company, pretty much, like that you see on social media sometimes. And the first panel, we have an explanation for why mosquitoes are attacking. So one of the characters, Nancy, she pulls out her phone, and it's a list of the most deadly animals in the world. Parentheses, this is a quote, according to the World Health Organization, who would know this sort of thing? And it goes down the list, like sharks, 10 people killed a year, elephants, 100 people killed a year, snakes, 50,000 people killed a year, and then it says 475,000 people killed a year, human-on-human violence. Hey, humans, maybe calm down a bit. Beyond that is 725,000 people killed a year by mosquitoes. So, fun fact that I learned from Squirrel Girl, mosquitoes are actually the most deadly animal on Earth because of airborne diseases that they carry. And all this other stuff.
Go Squirrel Girl.
Also in this issue is pretty much the theme of Squirrel Girl. It like gives like a whole like three Squirrel Girl gives three reasons why she's gonna beat the bad guy, and it's pretty much three reasons like why this comic exists. So she's like, I'm gonna beat you. I do it to help people. In an ideal world isn't one where I'm a famous hero. It's one where everyone is friends, everyone recognizes their own potential, and everyone knows a little computer science because it's really useful and you can use basic programming to solve all sorts of problems without having to pay someone to solve them for you, such as, and then somebody stops like, okay, I think we're getting a little sidetracked here. And then another great joke from this is, you know, the editor's notes and stuff that's like, see issue 3. Uh-huh. There's one of those like, see our runs of this. And it says, editor's note, see this one. And then below it, it says, yes, we took the initiative to preemptively write a whole story just to explain this one later remark paraphrased from a squirrel.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, just great jokes.
All throughout, it seems like.
Yeah, just throughout, quips, like sort of poking fun at superhero universe and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And just really fun, just a really fun read. And then also something that is just put in the background of this, is something that I noticed really interesting. So, we actually see a police officer in one of the last panels of the issue who's coming to arrest, the bad guy. And he is a Sikh male wearing a turban, and he's a police officer. It's blue. It has like the New York City badge on it, which I thought was really interesting because New York, City, for those of you keeping up with the news, just recently allowed, men at least to wear, turbans and headwear for religious purposes, and beards, as long as they are like of a certain length for the beards, and the turbans or headwear have to be blue to match with the uniforms. So yeah. I thought that was really cool, and that was just December 28th of last year when they started allowing that, just to get more activity from minorities in the force.
Yeah.
I guess numbers are dropping for police officers, so so I thought that was cool. And it's not even like a big thing. And I really think this is the kind of diversity that Marvel is always trying to go for, diversity.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, I just hate it shoving it in my face.
Mm-hmm.
But in publication like this, it's just a background fact of life.
Awesome.
Like, it's not even, it's literally two panels that you see this guy. And he doesn't have any lines, or actually, no, I take that back. He does have one line, but he's just there. He's just a police officer.
Yeah.
And most people wouldn't have even noticed it.
Right.
I remember reading the news a while ago about that. So that's honestly the only reason I noticed it, which I thought honestly was really cool, just to throw in there. It wasn't necessary at all to do that, but it's just there because that's just the way life is. It's just there sometimes.
Yeah.
So, Squirrel Girl,
what issue number is that?
Yeah, this is issue number 20, so they just finished a major story arc, and as Squirrel Girl issues go, there's always at least one standalone filler issue in between, and then it starts a new story arc.
Well, that's cool.
So the standalones, in my opinion, are honestly some of the best publications in comics. There's one Squirrel Girl standalone that's a choose-your-own-adventure. There's one that's like a romance one where she's going on dates and stuff.
Cool.
So I'm really excited to see what the next standalone issue will be, and then what the next story arc will be. Also in the end, I totally forgot about this, but in the very end we have a chicken marrying a bear in a Jewish wedding, actually. So
interesting.
It kind of makes sense
if
you've been reading the last four issues.
Yeah.
But a chicken marrying a bear is how this arc ends.
So let's see where it goes. All right. Well, I'm going to do a quick review. It'll just be like half a second. So The Mighty Thor, number 19. If you're not reading it, you just need to pick it up and read it. The art is gorgeous. The story is fantastic. Everything about what's going on right now with The Mighty Thor has been amazing. And I think they're heading towards something, because we know that the Odinson is back. You know, he's in the title right now currently. What's going to happen and where it's headed, I don't know for sure, but I know that Jane Foster is just an amazing character, and what they're doing with her and her cancer and everything else, they've nailed it so well in this book. So I definitely recommend picking up The Mighty Thor. I'm on issue number 19, but I think the last three issues or so introduces the Phoenix back into the world. So this is tying into a lot of things in the Marvel Universe, so I recommend reading The Mighty Thor right now. So anyways, that'll do it for issue number 2 of Capes and Scowls
West.
So we hope that you continue to listen to us. We're going to be putting together a 0.5 issue for number 2 as well. So look forward to that, and we'll talk to you soon. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.